Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Summer is so sexy. The warm summer breeze caresses your skin, the days are longer, and we're all wearing fewer clothes. So it is the perfect time to ignite the passion in your relationship and really enjoy the increased intimacy that comes with the season. Well, luckily, Promescent, the trusted brand for enhancing intimacy for both him and her, has the perfect solutions to make this summer sizzle. For him, the Promescent Delay Spray is a game changer. You just put a few sprays on your penis before sex and you'll be able to last up to 65% longer in bed. Say goodbye to those premature endings and hello to extended pleasure. It's like a secret weapon to keep the party going all night long. And for her, the Promescent Warming Arousal Gel is the key to unlocking new sensations. It's a paraben and hormone-free formula, and it stimulates blood flow on the clitoris. So you just rub it on a few minutes before sex, and it provides this tingling, buzzing, and warming sensation to her most sensitive areas. And that just leads to more arousal and more intense orgasms. Visit Promescent.com/Emily for 15% off your purchase. You get free shipping, a 60-day money-back guarantee, and discreet delivery. That's Promescent.com/Emily. Promescent.com/Emily for 15% off your purchase. Promescent is your one-stop shop for making this summer unforgettable. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Every Wednesday, we're going to be bringing you a hump day treat. It's the best of content from the SiriusXM radio show, just to give you a little taste. On today's show, we cover sex myths that still need to be debunked because they just aren't true, ways to get into anal play and stroke that prostate, how to break up with someone over the holidays, but to do it gently, and what to do when your marriage is becoming more like a roommate situation. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, it feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. Because we got all that awesome information on there to help you have better sex and relationships. You can easily subscribe and comment on iTunes and all the other places where you listen to podcasts now. But here's the exciting thing. If you haven't heard, you can check me out on SiriusXM Radio, Stars Channel 109. I'm there Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific. And the cool thing is I get to reach so many more of you, helping you with all those sex and relationship questions. So check it out. You can get a 30-day free trial. Visit sexwithemily.com/SXM. Or get this, even if you don't have SiriusXM, you can still call me Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, and I'll answer your question, 888-947-8277. So I hope you guys really enjoy these clips from the show. I want to hear what you think about it. I am loving it. So I want to hear what you think. You can also follow us on all social media at Sex with Emily across the board. So enjoy the show. What I thought I'd like to open up with tonight, I want to talk to you about some sex myths. There's a lot of things I think a lot of us believe because either we had abysmal sex education or zero sex education, or we learned it from our families, our friends, and we believe these things. Like, we believe them to be true because, hey, you know, no one's really talking about sex except for me and Jamie. Jamie's here. We're talking about sex tonight. So we always, that's what we do. But really, like, where else do you, like, turn on the radio or you watch TV or you read something and it's actually real factual information? You know, I think that a lot of just the basics too, anatomy, sexual health information, is so limited about what we actually know. So I thought these would be fun to take a gander down sex myth lane and let me lay down the sexual truth. So here's my first one. Sex equals penis and vagina, or PV as we call it in sex school. So penis and vagina intercourse, so just the regular in and out, might be the first act that you think about when it comes to sex. You're like, we had sex. It means that my penis went into her vagina. It's very heteronormative, I know, but that's what people think. But there's also oral sex, anal sex, fingers, hand jobs, mutual masturbation. There's a lot of things that can be sex, that can be defined as sex. And I'd love you guys to think about this because I know we've been talking a lot the last few weeks that I've been doing the show that sometimes it's just sex can be challenging, right? Someone's not aroused or turned on, or sex has become a problem. And I think let's think about sex holistically in a larger sense, that sex can be just intimacy. It could be connecting with your partner, holding hands. It could be you could do just oral sex for one night. You can mutually masturbate. That is sex. So let's open up how we think about sex. It doesn't have to just be what you've been taught.
And it's not like linear. It doesn't happen in like the same order.
Exactly.
Every time, because then it would be boring.
So boring, you guys. So this is it. When sex goes wrong, or you're like, oh God, I'm turned on, or I'm not turned on anymore, it's okay to stop having intercourse and then go back to oral or switch it up. I love switching it up. That's how it stays interesting. It doesn't have to be, well, I orgasm, you orgasm. You know, no, it could just, there's a lot of different ways to do it.
There was this funny, so there's this show called The League. It was on FX. It's like, it's over now. It's a great show. Check it out. Anyways, there was this episode that I was just watching, and it was like a couple was having sex, and he was like going for like one breast and then going down this very like thing. And like the wife was like, do you not like my right breast? He's like, no, honey, I love your right breast. She's like, because you only pay attention to the left one. She's like, he's like, well, I have my routine, my system. And so it's like, a lot of people do that. They're like, this works. I'm going to do this every time. But it's like, no, you got to like...
You got to do something different.
You got to do something different. Exactly. You got to switch up the order of things.
Right, exactly. There's so many erogenous zones on our body that we never pay attention to. Kissing the neck, you know, giving your partner a massage, you know, your wrists, your back, all these things. Tickle the back. Erogenous zones. Let's pay attention to them, okay? Here's another myth. The longer sex lasts, the better. And I hear this a lot from men who are like, oh, I got to last longer. I got to, you know, if I last an hour and a half, I should get a medal. But I don't think anyone wants sex to last that long. In fact, I think as long as you want sex to last is how long it should last. And when we're talking about sex, it could also mean all the stuff that comes before. Could be like the foreplay, which I kind of want a new name for that because I feel like that's kind of counter to what we're saying here about sex shouldn't be so linear. So foreplay could come after. You could keep going after you have intercourse. But I just, you know, sex can last, you know, as long as you want it to last. And there was a study that came out that said actually men and women preferred sex to last about 25 minutes.
Yeah, and I think in its entirety, like you were saying, like all the parts of it. Because I feel like 25 minutes, I mean, sometimes.
Sometimes 25 sometimes, minutes, but not like, every day. I mean, no, we get sore too. It can hurt. Exactly. Sometimes we're like, and I think that's also why women fake orgasms a lot. There's many reasons why they do. And I've talked a lot about why they shouldn't. But I think it's sometimes we want it to get over with. We don't want to hurt your feelings. We're done. We know we're not going to have our orgasm, or we already did. So I think this is something to bring up with your partner too. Like maybe they think you want it to go so long and you don't. And vice, you know, men and women.
Is there like I guess like a less awkward way to be like, this needs to stop now.
I'm done. You just roll over. How about you pick up your phone and start scrolling Instagram? That's a good thing. Like, oh my God. Babe, did I lose you here? No, I'm just done.
Yeah, sorry.
How about just, babe, let's just take a break. How about take a break? Okay. I love taking a break. That's what I'll do sometimes in my relationship. We're like, let's take a break. Because then we know it's not over. It's okay that both of us didn't orgasm or no one did, but we know we're coming back to it. And why not think of our sex? Why not never end sex with your partner? I mean, I always say foreplay starts after the last orgasm. And what I mean by that is that we should always be connecting to our partner, like sending a sexy text, talking about what we want to do next or how hot sex was the night before. And I don't mean every day, all day. We have jobs and lives, but keep that fire, that pilot light. I talk about the pilot light a lot, but that's that internal flame for sex. Like, just keep that going, and then you can always just... There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Dive in, dive out. Be in and be out of sex. Thinking if it's a continued thing that never ends. Okay, so the next myth, vaginal orgasms are superior to clitoral orgasms.
Oh God.
I know. Who says that there's like a superior? Like, who gave out medals here? You win. But that has been the myth. Like, you win. You had a vaginal. Your pity little clitoral orgasms mean nothing. It's dead to me. No. Oh, and here's the truth. That would mean that if that were true, that would mean that only about 20% of women are having the right kind of orgasms, because only 15 to 25% of women can orgasm through vaginal penetration alone. So let me sink that in for a minute, okay? 15 to 25%. So that means that, and I think that number is higher than that, actually.
No, I think you mean lower than
that? Lower than that. Like, I think that...
It might even be 10.
Oh, no, right. So that means that... Okay, no, that's right. Math is not... Sex is my strong suit at math. So that means that between 75%... So that means like 75% of women are not having vaginal orgasms during intercourse. The good news is it's not your fault. Who's ever having sex with them? It means that we need clitoral stimulation. We just need it. And that could come before sex. It could come during sex, using fingers, using toys. But to get back to the point here, vaginal orgasms are great. No orgasm is inferior to any other orgasms. And most orgasms, you know, internal, you know, are still clitoral. And it's all connected down there too. So sometimes it has to do with our anatomy. It has to do with, you know, other things, like it has to do with how close we are to our vaginal opening is to our clitoris for women. So there's a lot of different things that can be a factor here. And so I also think that every woman could actually learn to have more internal orgasms just to mix it up. But again, mm-hmm. there's a blended, sometimes we have the clitoris isn't just that love button. It's like the wishbone. It has legs that go inside of you. So there's so many orgasms. Let's try to have them all.
Yeah, it's really cool. If you look up what a clitoris looks like, you might be surprised.
Yeah, exactly, you guys. It's not just a button. It looks like a wishbone. Mm-hmm. The legs.
Like a wishbone you could hug.
A wishbone that you want to hug and lick and kiss and suck for a long time. And then we've got here, here's another myth. Men want sex and women want love. This is something that you always hear, like men are going to, women are going to have sex to get to the love.
Mm-hmm.
And men are going to have sex to get the love and women want the
love and the sex. I don't know. I think it's like men give love to have sex and then women.
Oh. Men barter love to get sex and women barter sex to get love. Yes. We've all heard this, right? That there are, which is totally false. I mean, I know most men I know, they want affection and cuddling and foreplay just as much as women do. And what's interesting is that, you know, men often really want the connection of being with a partner and women want better sex in their bodies. So men want that physical. Think about it. When men don't have a partner, they're watching porn. They might be going to a strip club or even getting prostitutes. It's because men actually do want, they want to look at a woman's face. There was a study that came out that showed what men are actually looking at when they ejaculate during porn. And they're looking at the women's face to get the reaction. So for men, they want that connection. Women, we can get that physical connection as someone, but we want more of a somatic experience. Like we want better sex in our bodies. So let me explain this difference here is that it's somatic, which means body, versus empathic pleasure. So I think that men, it's easier for men to get off. We just know that. I know that there can be challenges. But the truth is, men, it's easier for you guys to orgasm. You don't even have to talk about different kinds of like spots on your body. Like you're pretty much going to come. But for women, we want to be with a partner who can get us off, who understands our body, or that we need to know our own bodies so we can explain it to our partner. So I think that, you know, men want to be with a partner they connect with, which makes sense. And women want to be with a partner who knows that can help them figure out the best sensations in their bodies.
Help us get there. Yeah.
Help us get there. So that's a way of saying that is not true. I think we all want love and we all want sex. Mm. Then we've got porn viewing is a slippery slope to addiction. Now, porn addiction is a rare, rare condition. It can happen. And really the thing about porn is you know that there's a problem if there's consequences. Just like any addiction, shopping addiction, drug addiction, if you're a smoker. If there's consequences, meaning you're masturbating so much that you can't make it to work, you can no longer have sex with your partner, that's when it's a problem. But if it's not consuming your life, you're fine. We had a great show about this with Jamie Waxman.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys, you should totally check out the SiriusXM app. Check out that show from last week. We talked a lot about porn. Here's another one, another myth. You and your partner have to want the same amount of sex.
That's like the biggest one.
The number one myth here. If you were listening to last night's show, here's what is normal. It's normal to not be at the same level of desire. Like it's typical that one partner is going to want have higher desire. One partner's going to have lower desire, and then that could switch the next week. That could switch the next year. And that assumption follows that women want to have less sex than men. So the goal here with mismatched libidos is just first, number one, accept the fact that you and your partner are not always going to want sex the same rate as you did in the beginning. Because in the beginning, you probably wanted it all the time.
Mm.
So your goal with libidos and sex life with your partner, it's not to match your partner's libido. It's to negotiate and to compromise and to figure out how often, how frequent, what time of day is best for you to have sex, scheduling sex, and nurturing that connection and letting go of all the unrealistic expectations that there's something wrong with you or your partner because you don't want sex. I can't think of anything more normal. Like, it's probably the top question we get asked is, why doesn't my partner want to have sex when I do? Or vice versa.
Exactly.
I want more. So I think there's a lot of other things. Also, eye contact, kissing, touching, holding hands, massage. They're all ways to stay connected without the expectation of sex. Because the flip side of this is sometimes we have such a high expectation of intercourse, but sometimes our partner might just want to cuddle or have a massage, which BTW could lead to sex.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes just that intimacy is enough.
And then two, something that you say all the time, Emily, is talking about what initiation looks like to each other. Because I know that's like one thing. It's like some partners are like, I do want to have sex. I just wait for you to
exactly.
want to have sex.
So if you're waiting for your partner, maybe you even said to them, I wish you would initiate more. With my follow-up question, as Jamie's saying, is tell me what that looks like for you, for me to initiate. And then that's your job. The partner's asking your partner to initiate more to say, well, I guess when I get home from work, if you start giving me a back massage, that'll be a good signal that you want to have sex. Or, you know, if you throw me down on the bed and start giving me a blowjob, or I would say throw me down the bed and start going down on me. Like, that's how we know. Or mm-hmm. maybe you, whatever, figure out what it means to you. It's a great exercise too, because you might not know.
Yeah.
So then you could figure out with your partner.
I know. I was trying to think. I'm like, how do I initiate? And I guess I don't know.
You just roll over and you just grab his penis. Pull down his pants.
Usually. No, I guess I just, you know, start making out. I do the neck kiss a lot.
The neck kiss is a great one.
Yeah. You start the neck kiss. You do the hot breathing on the earlobe.
Yeah. Erogenous zone. Hot breathing on earlobe is so amazing, and I don't think it happens enough.
It doesn't.
Like small kisses around the neck and the ears are mm-hmm. so erogenous for men and women. We're already chock full of information here. Okay, so here's our last myth. Once you get aroused, you should stay aroused.
Mm.
No, you guys. Arousal is going to naturally ebb and flow even in the same moment, in the same sex session. Your blood flow to your body is going to alternate throughout foreplay, throughout sex. And we all know that sometimes, like, a phone call, the kids, a dog, you know, something can interrupt it. And then we're like, oh God, it's gone, it's gone. And we talk a lot about mindfulness here and about how to get back. And how you get back to it is if you don't attach to it. Like, oh man, my arousal is gone. I'm not going to get my men. You're like, I'm not going to get my boner back. I'm not hard anymore. And then we trip ourselves out and we're like, it's not going to happen. But the truth is, if you're just like, okay, right now it's not hard, I'm going to just go back to making out with my partner. Or we're going to take a quick break and come back. Not a quick break on the show. Let's take a quick break, babe, and get some pizza. No, but you're going to like, maybe you're going to take a break with your partner and say like, okay, let's, but it doesn't mean that it's done. So I think it's the attachment we have to what's happening with our arousal that gets us less aroused. So we can bring it back. If you believe that, it will come back.
Yeah, I think like, because there are times where it's like something happens and you're like, oh my God, like I just lost it. I don't know what happened. But you get so fixated on the fact that you lost it, you keep yourself in that box.
Right. Because you're thinking about it, and that means that your blood is flowing to your head away from your genitals. So the more you're thinking, the less aroused you are. It's true. The more you're obsessed, it is true. If your brain is taking all that blood flow and flood, you know, your genital, you no longer have blood rushing there. So where do you want your blood to rush and flush? To the genitals. We're going to take a quick break. You can think about that. All right. We're going to take a quick break and we come back on to your calls.
Michael, 29, in Illinois. And he wants to know, is it normal for men to crave anal activity?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Michael.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. So anal, you're craving it from your partner, or you would like to be the receiver of anal?
I think I'd like to receive it. We've been married 10 years, and I find myself more and more. She has touched me before, and I really enjoyed it. But I'm worried about where that could lead to. Would it always stay a heterosexual desire, or would I want something more?
Right.
I can see where that could feel good.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to ask you what you thought about toys and using those types of
toys. God, I love toys. I love toys. I really do. So I'm glad you asked this, Michael. First of all, it's a sexual act. It's not your sexual orientation. So that's all it is. So having anal sex, there's a lot of straight men who really like anal sex, who like being anally penetrated, using a toy, using a, you know, a dildo, using a strap-on. And that's because it feels so good. It's this, the prostate in men is like the male, the P-spot, like how women have a G-spot. So for men, exploring that area, tons of straight men, does not mean you're gay at all. Where it could lead to is explosive full body orgasms that you just had no idea you could experience. So I think that maybe starting with her finger, using some lube, maybe using a strap on at some time or a dildo, that might feel great. So I think it's totally fine that you're curious about that. And it makes a lot of sense.
So how does a strap on work? I'm not familiar with that.
Okay, so a strap-on, use like a belt. It's like a harness that has a dildo on it. So essentially, she would wear it around her waist, and then you would buy like a dildo that looks like a penis, and it's sticking out, and it and she would use that to penetrate you. And she would use lots of lube, and you would go slow, and there's a classic film on this. I hope it's like Carol Queen's called Bend Over Boyfriend. You could find it. You could actually go to our site, sexwithemily.com. We have a store there, and we have there's a lot of harnesses there, and you could probably find this. But that it's called pegging. It's something you don't try right away, I think. You don't want to go home and try it tonight, but I think it's something you could build up to. There's also toys like Aneros makes amazing toys for men called the Trident. They have a Trident line, and it's a toy that you put in your prostate that can just feel amazing. It's made just for that kind of stimulation. This is good news. I love that you're exploring this and that your wife is into it.
Okay. And so, like, as a Christian, do you have any advice? Is that okay from a Christian perspective to do those types of things?
I don't have advice from a Christian perspective, but I have advice from a human perspective, and that we all, pleasure is our birthright. And I think that in order for all of us to have really incredible sex and connected sex and to feel it's our right to have pleasure, and that to explore all these delicious erogenous zones that we have that we never ever explore. So I think that is your right. I can't speak on your religion, but I can tell you that I want you to have all the pleasure and experience that you desire. You're young, you're 29 years old, you know, you want to stay with your partner, you can keep growing it and experiencing things. So that's what I know. You deserve pleasure.
So last question then. So you don't worry then that this would grow towards wanting to have
to be gay,
maybe, you know, like a male contact?
Yet. No, I do not. I mean, have you? You tell me though, Michael. Have you ever had any fantasies about being with men ever? Like when you were a kid, was there ever anything like that in your mind?
Yes.
Okay. But so
never have done it.
Well, that's okay. So
see where it could still get.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, anal sex, having anal sex would not lead you to change your sexual orientation and desires. If you're interested, you might be interested in men, that could, don't blame it on the anal sex. It's something that I think might be important for you to explore. Because I think that's also not a way to live life. If you have desires and urges, I think that's just a way of life. I think that might be something you need to explore. I don't think it's a gateway. I don't think anal is a gateway for you becoming gay.
Okay. Awesome. You've
Thanks.
Been very helpful.
Of course. I will be here for you, Michael. Thanks. Have a great night. A lot of times we have fantasies about members of the same sex, like, and it doesn't mean that we're gay. It doesn't mean anything. We have fantasies that we don't actually want to act on. So that's really common too. I just want you guys to know, men fantasizing about men doesn't mean you're gay. Women fantasize about women doesn't mean you're lesbian. And the other thing is that just about prostate stimulation, if I didn't mention this, is actually really good for your health for men. It's a very healthy part of having a good sex life and your sexual health and wellness, keeping it in top shape. That's what I gotta say about anal for now.
All right, we have Renee, 32, in Iowa, and she wants to know how to break up with someone around the holidays.
Oh, Renee, tis the breaking season. Hey, Renee.
Hi there.
Hey.
Hey.
This is the time of year.
So, I know, it is kind of, it's more than just the holidays too, because the other thing is, you don't want to do it during the holidays because it's like, it just kills the spirit.
Right.
But also, I am currently his ride to work. Mm. So.
Okay. You mean every day?
Well, wait. How do I do this without completely leaving him in the cold?
Well, okay. So, like, literally leaving him in the cold because you're in Iowa. So,
right.
So do you. So, wait. My question for you is this. So, are you guys, did something, how long have you been together? And are you certain you want to break up? Did something happen? Are you just ready?
I'm just ready. We've been together since July, officially, you know.
Okay.
And it's just like, there were a couple things that I was trepidatious about getting into a relationship, and I told him, because he's a smoker, and I cannot stand the taste of
Yeah, that's a deal breaker.
Obviously, in my clothes.
Yeah.
And he told me he'd try to quit, and I even bought him gum and everything, and that's not happened, and here we are, almost December.
Yeah, okay, so 6-7 months in, you're not into it. I think you just, that's fine. That deal, smoking is a deal breaker. Like, that is, I get it. So I think, and whatever else, I mean, it's been 6 months. So I think, Renee, you just gotta, you know, I think the tip is you gotta meet up with him. I think that's the right thing to do, and just say, I love the time we spent together, and I'm just really not feeling this relationship. I mean, you're not married, you don't have kids. I mean, I think it's the right thing to do. And he'll find another, how was he getting to work before he met you?
He had a car, and it died on him during our relationship, and he just hasn't had the money saved up yet to get his another car.
Yeah, well, he'll figure it out. So, you know, because you're also doing him a favor by letting him go when you know it's over. Like, I think a lot of us think we want to stay in the relationship because we feel so bad that they're never going to be able to get on without us. But we're actually doing them a favor by letting them go. So I think, you know, yeah, the holidays, but you sound pretty certain that you're done.
Yeah, it's just, it's really been building up because there's, you know, he's just, like, I feel like I give and I never receive.
Yeah, I know, like, that feeling too. And have you tried to work on it? Like, have you told him the things that are important to you to receive?
I guess I've probably done the girl thing and done a bunch of hints.
Yeah, that doesn't work. Our partners aren't mind readers, especially men. And women don't read men's minds. We don't. I mean, this might be a practice for you in another relationship, or if you want to give it one more try, it really helps to be direct and say, you know what? Every time I see you, I bring you coffee and a donut in the morning when I pick you up for work. And I would just love if you, it sounds like you want him to, you know, if you surprised me with something or you planned the date or whatever your things are, you got to let him know. You know, their hints don't work. We think they do, and then we get all mad and we break up in our head, right? But they don't know. He didn't get
it. Like, okay, well, I have been direct on a couple of things. Like, for example, for Christmas, he just out of the blue told me that he wants this specific jersey that's $100. I go, oh, okay, well, here's my wish list. He goes, oh, that's nice. I'd want one of those, too.
Oh, so like, he sounds like cheap, right? Like, like you're supposed to buy for him, and he's not going to buy. Yeah, he sounds, maybe he's a little cheap and insensitive.
I think he's just selfish more than anything.
Well, that is selfish.
That way too, is if I've noticed how spoiled he is. Like, he moved during our relationship, and his aunt and his mom showed up and cleaned his new apartment top to bottom and set him up.
Oh, God. He's a mama's boy. How old is he?
He's 40.
Oh, he's 40. I'm telling you, it doesn't mean anything about it. Age doesn't really tell you anything, but he sounds kind of a mama's boy, maybe spoiled. Yeah, it sounds like you kind of know, and if he's, you know, but if you...
Yeah, I'm just getting more and more hints as we go along. I'm
That says a lot. He's 40, and his mom cleaned the place, he doesn't have a car, and you're picking him up, and you're a giver, you're a pleaser. Like, it feels good to you to give someone. Yeah, I can tell. You want to fill him up. You don't mind driving him. You don't mind. That's who you are, and that's really easy to also end up with people who might take advantage of it and who are selfish. So, Renee, let's learn from this. Right. I think we can if we choose to. Each relationship that we're in and then we get out of it, there's a lesson. There's so many lessons to learn. A lot of us blame the person and we don't think about it, but to go, okay, well, why was I attracted to him? And then, you know, you could even just take some time without dating and be like, what was it? And what could I not do next time? So that could be really helpful for you. But I think you just got to be honest, honey, and not stay with him just because it's the holidays. His mom can drive him to work, okay?
Okay, I'll let her know.
Okay, good. Perfect. You got this, Renee. Just be honest. Be yourself. Okay, thanks for calling Sex with Emily. I appreciate it, Renee. We are here. We are taking your calls.
And we are here for Brian.
All right,
he's 47 in Colorado, and his wife of 25 years has no interest in sex.
Okay, Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Emily.
Hey.
How are you?
Good.
So, I have the wife that enjoys the sex, but has, like, no interest and no talking about it. No texting, no talking. It's just when it happens, it happens. 17-year-old daughter at home.
Yeah.
And it's kind of boring.
Yeah. I hear you. So, how was it at the beginning?
It was good. It was good at the beginning, no doubt.
And have you guys ever, I mean, I know it's 25. I'm just trying to think, like, when did it, was it after you had kids or it's just been, like, the last?
Yes. Definitely after we had kids.
So it's been a long time now, and you guys have never really talked about sex?
Well, you talked, and she'll talk, but then no action. Nothing follows.
Right.
No sexy texting, nothing. None of that. It's like she's shy and embarrassed about it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, because no one else is doing it. We didn't learn. We weren't raised that way. You know, she thinks it's wrong and, you know, sinful. So it sounds like you might have to try a different approach here, because you love your wife and you want to stay with her. So I think it's more of a talk about, like, the state of our sex life together. Like, hey, you know, when you guys are at dinner or you do something outside the bedroom, and just say, I really, our intimacy and our sexual health of our relationship is so important to me. And so I want to talk about it because it is important for us to connect and be intimate. And so let's talk about some things that might get you more in the mood, or what we can do to, like, it's make it more about her, you know, more about finding what actually gets her in the mood and turns her on. And, you know, is she your age as well, 47?
Yes.
You know, again, I'm going to have some hormone experts on the show, because there could be something going on with hormones. But you said it's been going on a long time. So I'm not going to blame hormones. I'm going to blame the fact that women get turned on differently and aroused different than men, and that we get stressed out. We get disconnected from our bodies. We don't masturbate as often as we should, and we just disconnect from it, and we just feel like it's a separate part of us. And then so much time goes by. So it sounds like she needs to get to know herself again. So, and we need to find out what she is into and what, you know, there's a good blog on our site called Mind Body Libido. It's at sexwithebly.com. That might be very helpful for you guys to read together and just get some more information about it. In a loving place, not blaming her, not shaming her for not wanting it for so long, but like from a state of like, I love us and I want to help make this great for you again. And just be patient.
That sounds good.
Okay, good. Thanks, Brian. Thanks for calling Sex with Emily. Thank you. Yeah, you're so welcome, you guys. Here's the thing. I think that we often think, well, we had a conversation once, or we tried it. We've said it 3 times, I want more sex, and nothing's happened, or 10 times. But then you think, well, it doesn't mean that your partner doesn't actually want to. It just means that we got to change our tactic. We got to change the way we're talking about it. Try something different. So I just think you don't give up. Keep calling me. We'll give you suggestions. All right, everyone, thanks for listening to this SiriusXM Hump Day Treat. Let me know what you think about it. And thanks to my amazing, amazing team, Ken, Sarah, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.